6 days away from the greatest day in all of racing, the Daytona 500, kicking off the 2020 NASCAR season. It is Sunday, 2:30 Eastern, with the pre-race beginning at 1 p.m. only on Fox. And we're now joined live in studio by pole winner Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Congratulations,
Congrats,
Ricky.
Congrats, man.
Welcome
Good to
the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So how does it feel heading into the race as the pole sitter? Where are you at right now?
Well, right now I'm just kind of soaking in yesterday. The guys at JTG Doherty Racing built a really fast race car, obviously. And
hope so.
Anytime you go down and, you know, we all qualify and you have the fastest car in Daytona, it's always a good start to the weekend.
You just mentioned JTG Doherty, pardon me. You had been with Roush Fenway your whole career,
right? Yeah.
And so first time really with JTG Doherty, you win the pole for the Daytona 500. Take us through the change and the validation, maybe. I know it's very early, but the validation
it's definitely
and the change.
Very early, but you know, it was a kind of a refreshing offseason after being at a company for so long and the same team. We won a lot of races and championships there, but then you know, it's just nice to get a fresh start and kind of revitalize and kind of re-energize myself to, you know, jump back in the seat and hang out in the shop and, you know, meet all the new people. But the off season goes by really fast in our sport. We end, you know, in November, pick right back up and in February. But the off season is quick, but hanging out with the team and, you know, coming down and, you know, with a new team, new sponsors, new manufacturers, and sitting on the pole of the Daytona 500 is pretty special.
Yeah, you changed teams, you got new sponsors, you have new everything. But the one thing you did bring with you was your former crew chief, Ryan Patty. How big of a key is that to you as far as the racing goes?
Yeah, Brian's been instrumental in, I feel like, kind of stepping my career up and my level in the Cup Series. His intensity is pretty strong. And this is one goal that he had coming into the offseason was, hey, we are going to bring the fastest car in Daytona to the racetrack. And they worked really hard this offseason on that. But he pushed me to my wins in 2017, where we last won at Daytona. In the Coke Zero 400, the summer race. So now we got to win the Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday. That would be huge to start our season that way.
And what would that mean to you to be able to start the season, biggest race, with a win, coming off the winning the pole? Just talk to me about what that would mean to you.
Yeah, you know, our sport's a little bit different. Having, you know, our biggest race of the year.
You basically have the Super Bowl at the beginning of your season.
We do have the Super Bowl. Obviously, we still want to win the championship at the last race of the year in Phoenix, but all in all, this is the great American race. This is the race that, you know, all of us drivers want to win. And, you know, they can't really take that trophy away from you once you win it. And so for us, it would be, you know, huge to get our Kroger car in victory lane come Sunday. But it's a tough race. The cars are hard to drive. They're sliding around a lot. And you gotta be there at the end. It's 500 miles.
So I've never raced cars. I did run track, though. And
same thing.
Yeah. But there's a reason I bring it up. I feel like it's similar.
But
an actual race, like you're running the 800, that's like the actual race in that you see where you are in relation to your competition. Qualifying's like when you're in the pits, like you're doing a long jump. You go post a score, and then you got to watch. Mm-hmm. You were 17th, 18th?
Yeah, we went out 18th.
18th. So you post a time, and then you're just watching, and you're waiting and seeing, is someone going to top my time? Take me through the emotions of when you post and you realize, all right, right now we are in the figurative pole position, and then trying to hold on essentially for dear life when there's nothing else you've already done.
You can't
your work
do anything.
Day,
you're just
right?
sitting there watching. Yeah, it was nerve-wracking, but I enjoyed it. It was, you know, a really fun experience because it was like I knew we had a fast race car. If we could, you know, go out, lay our lap down. And Daytona's kind of weird. Like, you know, we draw for our spot for where we go out. It's a random draw. So went out 18th. The winds kind of picked up a little bit towards the end of qualifying, and they were a headwind down the back straightaway. So we posted our lap. I felt like it was a really good lap. I thought the racetrack with the conditions slowed down from the day before, and we actually went faster than what we did the day before in our practice runs. So I was really confident, but then we still had to dodge a few bullets with, you know, our other Chevy teammates that were lining up, ended up half a tenth away from us. So I was a little nervous.
You know, I played most of my career with a chip on my shoulder. That was kind of my way of being successful. That was the hunger that drove me. And you kind of got let go, released from Rouse Fenway unexpectedly. Does that leave a chip on your shoulder, make you feel like you have something to prove just a bit?
It does, for sure. And I think that's kind of, you know, one of those things that, like I said earlier, kind of just re-energized myself to like, hey, let's put a lot of focus into it. Let's make sure I'm doing everything that I can inside the car, outside the car, you know, at the shop with the team. And, you know, like I brought Brian Patty over with me. He's kind of got that chip on his shoulder. Mike Kelly that is working on all of our wind tunnel cars. He was my crew chief when we won our Xfinity championships. We all kind of have that same chip on our shoulder, and it's nice to have those people in your corner with you. Transitioning to that new team, everybody's been great in the new organization at JTG Doherty Racing. Just the atmosphere is what I've been looking for, and we're ready to go.
So Nick mentioned he ran track, and then Brian mentioned that, you know, he played in the NFL. So I played high school volleyball, and in many ways, it's just like the Daytona. No, I'm just kidding. What would a successful year look like for you? These are near impossible races to win. What is considered a successful career, points-wise at least, for you guys?
Yeah, for us, we're looking to, you know, make it back to the playoffs. We were in the playoffs winning two races in 2017. 18, 19 kind of struggled. We had speed in 2019, but we just never put it all together week in and week out consistently. But I do feel like, the jump that JTG Racing has made, you know, just in qualifying and the speed that we brought in this race car this weekend, like you said earlier, it's just the first weekend, long season. But, you know, we go to Las Vegas after Daytona, and we're putting that same amount of effort into our Las Vegas car. Then we go to Fontana and Phoenix, and I feel like the whole team's kind of, you know, putting in extra hours, working Saturdays, and doing whatever it takes to make sure that we have fast race cars. So that being said, we want to make the playoffs. We want to win a race, and you know, just kind of
just start the thing off going pole to pole in the Daytona 500. Be the first pole sitter to win it in 20 years, and you're basically locked in.
So that was a bad stat. I didn't want to hear that stat.
It's bound to. Someone's going to break that, so it might as well be you.
I like that.
There it is.
I heard you off the air though, and you're obviously a professional car racer, but you're an all-around sports fan.
Oh yeah,
you're an Ole Miss guy, right?
I am.
All right, what do you think of Lane?
I'm on it. I'm on the train. Let's go. I'm looking
Lane Kiffin,
forward,
I should have said, the new head coach for Ole Miss football.
I'm looking forward to the Egg Bowl with Mike Leach and Mississippi State, Lane Kiffin. I think that's going to be interesting. Kind of duo going at it.
Well, you can't talk about Ole Miss football without talking about Eli Manning. And obviously, he's retiring now. The big question is he a Hall of Famer? That's the number one question for his career.
I don't see how you can not put him in the Hall of Fame. I know he's a 500-win quarterback, but MVPs, Super Bowls, I think you got to go with it.
That sounds really forced. You're like definitely going to be in there. So there
I
you
think
go.
He's definitely going to be in, but you know, it's not my decision.
All right, real quick though, before you go, because you're also a basketball fan. I don't ever participate in this debate. I think it's overwrought. But
it's
some people talk LeBron versus Jordan. I'm just curious where you come out on that.
Well, I watch LeBron a lot more than I watch Jordan, and I remember it a lot more. So
a little recency.
So I'm gonna go with LeBron.
That's smart man.
Here's the question that all America really wants to know. You drive fast for a reason. When's the last time you got a speeding ticket?
It's actually been over a year.
Really?
You're not driving yourself anymore?
You don't drive fast.
No, the reason why it's been a while is because 1 year I got pulled over like 10 times.
Wow.
I didn't get 10 tickets. I just got pulled over 10 times. But that kind of slowed me down a little bit.
How many speeding tickets do you think Nick has?
Me?
Just because when you talk about above 100, I think it's a big number that I think.
Nick seems like a guy that would be in a rush an awful lot. Weaving in and out of traffic.
Listen, man, I got
Nick,
a lot.
When he gets stopped, he goes, you know, I ran track in high school.
So track.
These takes don't give themselves. I got places to be.
Ricky, good luck this Sunday at the Daytona 500.
Appreciate
we
it.
Will definitely Thank be watching. Appreciate your time this morning. Much more First Things First right after this.
Ricky is my size, man. I can do this. I can drive cars. 500 laps, easy work.
TurboTax is here to help this tax season by making tax filing easier for you. They've made it their mission to give you all the tools and advice you need to get your taxes done with confidence, like making uploading your W-2 as easy as taking a picture. Just use your phone or tablet to simply snap a picture of your W-2, then watch your information appear in the right place in your tax return. You can be sure you're filing your taxes correctly while at the same time making sure you're getting the best possible refund. TurboTax. All people are tax people.
Last season, Taysom Hill was a big weapon for the Saints offense in certain spots. One of those spots, his epic playoff performance against the Vikings, where he completed a 50-yard pass, ran for 50 yards, and had two catches for 25 yards and a touchdown. But Hill knows he may have to go elsewhere to become a starting quarterback. Said, quote, I have loved every second of my time in New Orleans, so do I want to leave? The fact of the matter is, no, I don't. But as you look at free agency, you have to find the right opportunity for you. You have to find the situation to take care of your family. I want to play quarterback in this league. And if New Orleans don't view me that way, well, then I have to leave. Nick, who is the best option for the Saints at quarterback next season? They got Taysom Hill, they got Drew Brees, and then you got Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, to me, there's a very clear hierarchy. I still believe that Drew Brees got a year left. So I would put Drew Brees at number one. Right on his heels, though, is Teddy Bridgewater. And then there is a huge gap to Taysom Hill. Now, if I bring back one of Brees or Bridgewater, I would rather have Taysom Hill on my roster than the other one of the top two. You follow me? If I bring back Drew Brees, then I would prioritize bringing back Taysom Hill in a role over bringing back Teddy Bridgewater. If I bring back Teddy Bridgewater, I would prioritize Taysom Hill over bringing back Drew Brees because Taysom can do so many things. But be a starting quarterback in this league, we just haven't seen it. I'm baffled by this. My friend, who I've known for, almost 15 years now, Mike Florio, was tweeting about Taysom Hill. He is going to be a starting quarterback. The only thing that can stop him is injury. Have there been some game? Was I in a coma for the season when Taysom Hill threw a bunch of passes? Because I go to my memory and I'm like, I can't remember a game. And then I look at the numbers. He's thrown 15 passes ever. He's completed 7 of them. 169 yards. No touchdowns. 1 pick. Now, he is a viable passing threat, which should go along with the fact that he's got 3 rushing touchdowns, got 8 receiving touchdowns, does some returning, look at those things, and if you had never seen him play, would you say that guy's a quarterback? Or that guy's Mohamed Sanu? I don't even know if he's Mohamed Sanu, but I don't understand. To me, it is immense projection. I think he is a very quality NFL player, Canty. I think he contributes to winning. I think there are 32 teams that would love to have him on the roster. But a starting quarterback, to me, that is, it maybe it happens, but I don't yet, I've never seen the evidence of it.
Yeah, a couple of things here. First of all, Taysom Hill is a restricted free agent, not an unrestricted free agent. So New Orleans is going to have some say as to how this thing is going to go. They can put the high tender on him, have first right of refusal, and then, of course, command draft compensation if another team wants to jump in there.
For sure.
They could potentially get a first-round pick. I don't think there's a team out there that would give the Saints a first-round pick for Taysom Hill to play quarterback. But then you also look at what took place this year. Drew Brees missed a little over a month, and Sean Payton and the Saints didn't decide to go to Hill. They went to Teddy Bridgewater, and Bridgewater was 5-0. Bridgewater made the decision. With a couple of big games. I think he had 1,300 yards, a little over 1,300 yards passing, 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions over that span. So Bridgewater had a solid season. And keep in mind, Bridgewater was a free agent last year and decided to come back on a 1-year deal because he's trying to wait out Drew Brees, knowing that he could be the heir apparent in New Orleans with the skill position players that they have, that offensive line, and one of the greatest offensive minds in today's game, in Sean Payton. So I just feel like the organization has already told Taysom Hill where he fits. It's not as the starting quarterback. It's as a weapon, a do-everything kind of guy they can plug him in and do gadgets with, and they can put him in there with certain packages as the quarterback, but I don't think he's going to be your guy week in and week out. It's going to be Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Brees, and for my money, if I was forced to make a decision, I would probably go with the younger, cheaper option in Bridgewater over Brees.
Younger? option, which I think surprises people because Teddy's been around for a while. But Taysom Hill, he went on, what, the two-year Mormon, I forgot.
Mission,
right?
Yeah.
Mission, thank you. I almost said trip. The mission, and so he came into the league older. He didn't play hardly at all his first season. So we've only really seen him the last few years. But he's 29 years old. We have seen guys like Taysom Hill for a long time in the NFL. I've never seen this type of hype surrounding them.
Well, Sean Payton last year said, oh, he's the next Steve Young. I think when you have your coach throw something like that out there, the narrative builds itself.
And by the way, Jay Glazer went on the Herd Super Bowl week. I remember listening to it, driving to one of Miami's great casinos, and heard Jay Glazer say, yeah, the Saints know who their quarterback of the future is. It's Taysom Hill. And I almost wrecked the car. I can't imagine what Brad Smith is thinking right now. Remember Brad Smith?
Yep. Yeah.
Played quarterback at the University of Missouri. Went to the Jets. Was a little kind of a gadget player. Do a little bit of everything. Some returning, some running. Can throw the football. He said, wait, I could have been an heir apparent, a starting quarterback. I don't want to come down on Taysom Hill. And I know it sounds like I am. I'm really not trying to. I'm a evidence-based person. And I just don't have, the guy's thrown 15 pass attempts in his whole career, regular season and postseason. 13 attempts in the regular season for 119 yards, 0 touchdowns and a pick. He's 1 of 2 in his postseason career. One of them was for 50 yards, it was a big play, and we remember that. But I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying we have no evidence that he can. And your point that the Saints, when they were forced with this choice, went to Teddy almost exclusively, to me is very telling in this situation. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Last season was supposed to be Cam Newton's bounce back. He spent the summer of 2019 rehabbing his injured throwing shoulder, and as we know, this past season had to be shut down due to a foot injury. He couldn't quite get it right. So here's Panthers team owner David Tepper on Cam's future in Carolina.
Listen, I'm not a doctor. You know, and I said it a million times. Is he healthy? And how does, I mean, he's not a doctor. So, you know, there's a lot of different things can happen. But first is he healthy? Tell me that, and then we can talk.
That seems pretty non-committal, Kenny. You think Cam Newton should be the Panthers' starting quarterback next season? Because I'm not sure David Tepper does.
No, I don't think he should be the starting quarterback, and I don't think he will be the starting quarterback. When David Tepper bought the team, he went out and said that this was not going to be a quick turnaround. This was going to be a long process. That's why he gave Matt Rhule, their new head coach, an unprecedented contract, 7 years, $60 million, could go up to $70 million with incentives. So I think that they're looking at this thing from a practical standpoint. Whether you have a healthy Cam Newton or not, based on all of the losses that you've had this offseason already and the organization pivoting off of Ron Rivera to a new guy, I think this is the perfect time to move off of Cam Newton. He's got a very controllable contract. It's a 1-year proposition for a prospective team at $19 million in base. So I think it's a contract that you can move and bring back assets. And if you're going through a rebuild, it helps to have more draft capital. So I think there's a lot of reasons why the Carolina Panthers should move on from Cam.
All right, before I give my opinion on this, I want to ask you a question. So if they are in full-on rebuild, who's the best player on their team?
Christian McCaffrey.
So it's a running back, and I understand he's a hybrid. He also is pass catcher, but he's a running back. Shortest shelf life, historically speaking, of any position. He's also, in short order, going to be up for a new contract. If you're in rebuild mode, what are you doing with Christian McCaffrey?
Well, you probably have to move off of Christian McCaffrey.
So trading him as well?
Well, yeah, you might as well. I mean, I don't understand why you would continue to try to depreciate an asset. You know what I mean? Yeah. At some point, you're going to have to pay Christian McCaffrey. That bill is going to come due, and he's seeing what other running backs are getting around the National Football League. When Derrick Henry gets paid this offseason, that's only going to make his asking price higher. So, I mean, it does
make
sense.
And this, by the way, is the year that after 3 years when Gurley got paid, mm-hmm. Who's the other running back who just got paid?
Zeke.
This is the time when guys have gotten paid. So you would flip McCaffrey and really just rip this thing all the way down to the studs.
Well, I mean, it's almost already down to the studs. So, I mean, it just makes sense. If the Carolina Panthers aren't going to be very competitive, whether you have either player healthy and available for the entire year, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to hold on to those guys. And then you couple in the injury concerns that we've had from Cam. It's been 3 seasons since we've seen Cam play a full 16. So I have some serious concerns about whether or not you want to put him out there this year, especially when you can get something in return for him this offseason.
Well, and at this point, if I'm Cam Newton or I'm Cam Newton's agent, I say, okay, that's enough. You guys were noncommittal with me before. You saw the disaster that your quarterback position was without me, and you still are noncommittal, even though it's going to be a full 12 months before this next season rolls around since I suffered that Liz Frank injury. I'd like to be moved. If I'm Cam Newton, I don't want to be there anymore. He hasn't said that. He hasn't gone that far. Hearing that from the owner, I'd say, don't worry about my health, bro. I got you. Trade me. Go ahead, and because you're right. It is, to me, that is a very attractive one-year trial. I don't think Cam's in a position where he can demand a new contract upon arrival with a new team, right? He would be playing out the 1 year, $19 million left on his deal, see if he can stay healthy, see if he can get back to Pro Bowl form. But I don't want to be there if I'm him anymore. Not only because Greg Olsen's gone and Luke Kuechly is retired, and they have seemingly never quite been able to draft the right wide receivers on the outside, but also because I'm the best player in the history of your franchise. I've always conducted myself well. Like, Cam has been great in the community. He's been a great leader. His teammates adore him. We have had Greg Olsen on the show multiple times talking about that. Christian McCaffrey on the show talking about that. And that's the comment you make. We got to see if he's healthy, which, by the way, if you are going to move off me, hurts my value. If you do just say we're going to cut you, whatever it is, hurts my value. I don't want to be there anymore if I'm Cam Newton. I've said for a year the Panthers' best option is to stick with Cam Newton. They seem to be noncommittal on it. If I'm Cam, I'm noncommittal on them. Because I think there are teams out there, Canty, whether it's the Chargers, whether it's the Bears, if they want to admit that Trubisky's a sunk cost, whether it's the Titans, if the Tannehill asking price gets too high.
I would throw the Colts in that conversation as well.
Colts would be really interesting. And you finally have Cam behind a great offensive line. Like, there's the Bucks, if I think Bruce Arians love to have Cam Newton, if you decide you don't want Jameis Winston, there's a lot. The Patriots, if Tom Brady goes somewhere else, Patriots seem like the exact type of team that would trade a mid-round pick for a one-year trial of Cam Newton, even if they want to continue to develop Stidham. If I'm Cam, I don't want to be there anymore, because you are publicly saying, you know what I mean? Hey, how's the marriage with your wife going? We'll see. We'll see if she gets her act together. I'm not saying we're getting divorced, but I'm also not saying we're going to be together in a year. Like, okay. Well, then send me the papers and I'll sign them, because that's, to me, what David Tepper just did there.
But you seem to think Cam has more in the tank and more left than you do. I think the jury's still out for you on how much Cam can offer a team. We know he's not going to get back to MVP Cam, but how far back do you think he can get?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think any team is going to sign up for Cam Newton being their starting quarterback and penciling him in for the week one guy. I just think with the injury history, there's a certain amount of risk that comes along with that. I think it's going to be a situation where he'll be competing with an incumbent that's on a controllable salary. That's why I threw out the Bears. That's why I threw out the Colts, because both of those teams have young quarterbacks at a relatively controllable number. They have the cap space to be able to absorb a contract like Cam Newton's, or if they don't have it, they can easily get to it. So it just felt like that makes a lot of sense, just because I don't think any team is going to go all in with Cam, because there is a significant risk associated with it.
And I would, if I were a team out there and my other options are to pay Ryan Tannehill a bunch of money, to pay Teddy Bridgewater a bunch of money, I absolutely would pinch pencil Cam in as my week one starter. Prior to the TJ Watt hit, and I understand since then it's the shoulder injury and then the foot injury, two totally different parts of the body, two totally different injuries. Cam Newton, for all his rugged style of play, had missed three games in his career. So he is a guy who it felt like he was dinged a lot,
right.
But he found a way to be available every time, or nearly every time, prior to the end of the 2018 season and all of last season. I think Cam still got another chapter left, and I think the Panthers will regret it not being there.
You're absolutely right. I think he does have a little more left in the tank. I don't know if the Panthers will regret it, because that team seems like they're actively trying to lose for Lawrence, the guy that's right down I-85 at Clemson University.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
We'll see how that plays out. But let's not forget in all of this, the team did float out there early December that they would entertain trade talks for Cam Newton this offseason. Yep. Let's not forget that happened. Yep. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Yep. It seems like the Carolina Panthers have shown Cam Newton
that they're ready to move on.
Who's my guy that I liked again?
You liked Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kyle. So last night, LeBron and Anthony Davis led the Lakers to a crucial win over the Nuggets in their last game before the All-Star break. So the two All-Stars became the first pair of Laker teammates with 30 points and 10 boards in the same game since Kobe and Paul Gasol back in 2008. AD was recently asked who he believed to be the best player on the team right now. Take a listen to his answer.
Are you the best player on the Lakers?
I think I'm up there. I mean, I see the things that this guy, LeBron, does. What is he, 35?
35.
35, year 17. It's unreal. And every time I mess with him, I'm like, man, you getting old, man. Earlier this year, he had a dunk on a break, and it was like something so simple. And I told him, I was like, man, that's a three. And so when he did the same dunk that Kobe did, you know, I don't even know what he did. He came to
Double
me after the game.
Reverse.
Yeah, he came to me after the game and said, yeah, that was an 8.5, wasn't it? And I didn't know what he was talking about. He was like, early in the year, he told me I had a three. He said, so next time I got a fast break, it was going. And I was like, all right, you getting there? He was like, yeah, I'm not old yet. And so, you know, we joke about it. But the things, you know, he does in year 17 at 35 still amazes me. I'll give it to him right now.
Antoine, I'm going to ask you the same question that Dave asked AD. Who is the best player on the Lakers, LeBron or AD?
Nick, don't get mad, but I believe in this day and age, I believe that AD is the best player on the team. I think what AD is able to do on both ends of the floor separates itself a little bit. I think LeBron is not, if it's a big situation, he'll play defense. So I think he's left the defensive end alone. When you think about some of the things LeBron, if he'll run down a block every now and then. But what AD brings for them defensively as well as offensively, we saw that last night too. And then also got to take another shot too. I like the fact that AD makes his free throws too late. So I think you can go to him. I think late game, this is the first time I think in LeBron's career that if I'm drawing up a late play, I know LeBron took the shot last night, but I may go to AD because he can give me maybe a little bit more versatility because he can get all the way to the basket and get fouled and not be afraid to get fouled. Not saying LeBron will be afraid to get fouled, but I know he can get there and make the free throw. So he adds a little bit more components to his game right now than LeBron. And we know LeBron's a great triple-double threat every night, but both ends of the floor and being dominant and can dominate both ends of the floor, I got to go with AD.
So the free throw thing, no one can argue. And LeBron wouldn't argue it. It's frustrating. It's confusing. He was never a great, great free throw shooter, but it's the last 3 years he's become a liability at the free throw line, and it's inexplicable. So and it does seem to affect some of his very late game decision making. So that's a fair critique. And as far as the defensive end, I think you are discounting how good LeBron's been defensively throughout this season. But Anthony Davis is right now the defensive player of the year. Giannis maybe should sweep all the awards, but Anthony Davis certainly top three defensive player of the year, and I think probably would be the Vegas favorite to win it right now. Here's why I disagree with you, though. It is actually in that clip you got a little window into it. He talks about how earlier in the year that he said to LeBron that was a three. And months later, LeBron does the Kobe dunk and says to him, that was an 8.5. And Anthony Davis didn't even know what he was talking about. And he had to remind him, no, months ago you said. And that's where LeBron's still the best player in basketball. His body is not atrophied enough. He's not the athlete he once was, but he's still top 7-8 athlete in the league. And his mind is so much sharper than everyone else's. The photographic memory, the understanding of who needs a shot when, who is going to be open in what spot, what guy do I need to make sure gets a look so he gives me what he needs to give me on the defensive end. He is an offense unto himself. It's why, as great as Anthony Davis is, when he's on the court this year without LeBron, the Lakers get outscored. The Lakers have a negative point differential. Now, part of that's because the Lakers haven't built the team with another competent regular ball handler, but it's also because LeBron is doing part of everyone's job for them on the offensive end. He's the only player in basketball you can say that about right now. And when we talk about what would this team look like with just one of these guys, they wouldn't be a championship contender without both of them. We know that. But I think LeBron, with this roster, without Anthony Davis, would have this team similarly to how he had it last year prior to the injury in the playoff picture. I don't know that we've given Anthony's history in New Orleans, I don't know that we can assign him the same benefit of the doubt. So even though while one day I think, and that day might be next year or the year after, Anthony Davis will surpass him, I think right now LeBron's still the best player in the whole league, with the only person contending for him being Giannis. So I certainly think he's the best player on the Lakers.
Well, I believe that you make some valid points. Obviously, I think LeBron's going to make the right play. There's only a few guys that do make the right play almost every time. Magic Johnson did, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James, where they made the right play, got the right guy to shot, no matter what the situation was. That's not Anthony Davis's job. But when it comes to the Lakers, his job is to dominate the inside, be the best defensive player on the floor. He does that the best. Then offensively, at any given moment, he can get you 35 to 40. We saw that. His scoring has dropped down a little bit, but now he's starting to pick it back up. And then late in games, I trust him. He's a guy that can, you know, I'm not saying he's the best clutch, you know, late game player, but he last night showed me that his versatility to be able to step out, make a three late, have the confidence to take the three. I think one thing that LeBron has rubbed off on him, and we don't give LeBron enough credit for, is the durability, not letting him sit out multiple
games.
That's
a big part.
That's a big part of it. And he's making AD a better player. And I believe, and LeBron knows that. He knows that he cannot win an NBA title without AD. He knows he needs AD to play all season long. He understands the importance of the regular season. And he's going to probably get AD to 70-plus games in his career now, where he's having did that in his career. So that's where LeBron makes a huge difference. But I think for the Lakers to win and the best player so far this season, even though I know LeBron's leading the league in assists, I think it's been AD.
I thought you wanted to say something, Jenna. My apologies.
No, just going to say no one's even brought up Rondo, but I guess we're just dealing with these two are the
Rondo's
only options. Only options on this team.
Rondo's not in this conversation.
No, I know.
One quick follow-up to your side of the argument moving forward. I think we are going to see – remember right after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, I said we're going to see the best version of Andy Reid we've ever seen because of the experience he got, removing that burden, monkey off his back, so to speak. There's an element of what we're going to see from Anthony Davis after he goes through the crucible of the NBA playoffs in a position he's never really been in. The guy's only played 13 career playoff games. They've been an underdog in every series he's ever been in, even the one where they swept Portland, surprisingly, a few years ago. And then they've gotten annihilated by Golden State both years. They've the two playoff losses were to Golden State, where they were huge dogs. Point I'm awkwardly trying to make is, once he goes through this postseason and has this experience, I think we're going to see his game jump a grade that we've been kind of waiting for. That it can only jump from the playoff experience, from going through those battles. So I think next year, like LeBron's game is obviously done jumping. Like we know where he is. Question is, can he maintain it? Once Anthony Davis goes through, whether they win the title or not, even though I think they will, I think you're going to see the best version of Anthony Davis, a version we never got to see in New Orleans because he never had that playoff experience to learn from starting next season.
All right. Ask same question next season. All right. I got it. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.